The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
To set the stage a little bit here, you probably remember that the Romans had conquered pretty much the entire known world, and including ruling over Israel and its seat of power, Jerusalem. And as such, there were Roman officials that were in Jerusalem. And we see here in this particular case, most notably, there was a fellow by the name of Pilate. And at this time, when the Romans ruled, the kind of interesting thing about how the Romans did when they would go and conquer a place, they didn't much care about the religion of whatever place they conquered, so that the people there could continue to practice their religion, whatever that may be, pray to their gods, and even have their religious laws. But it was such that Roman law overruled any religious law. And it's just to kind of give you an idea of what that might be like. You know, in this particular country that we live in, the United States, we have a federal government, and then we have many, 50 states. And each state has its own laws and regulations, and the federal government has its own laws and regulations. And the states can follow their laws and regulations so long as they do not conflict with federal law. If they conflict with federal law, then federal law preempts state law. And that's the way it was with the Romans as well. Their laws preempted the laws of the Israelites to the extent that the laws of the Israelites conflicted. Now, the laws of the Israelites, they had a law that allowed them in certain circumstances to put someone to death. They did have the death penalty, but their laws about putting someone to death had been preempted by the laws of the Romans. And so in order to put someone to death, they had to get the Roman authorities to do it for them. And that's exactly the scene we have here. Upon the arrest and trial of Jesus, we see that as he's brought to trial before Pilate, who was on behalf of the Roman government, was the procurator there in Jerusalem and in that area. They had to bring him, Jesus, before Pilate. And the timing of this was such that it was at the time of the Passover. Now, I'm sure that you are very well aware of the Passover and what the Passover was all about, and how that Jesus was crucified here at the time of the Passover, and the symbolic and very realistic as well circumstances that Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is our Passover. And that's not, again, it is symbolic, but it also is very real that he became our Passover. But I jump ahead of myself there. And so once Jesus is captured and brought before Pilate, he's put on trial there, and the Sanhedrin, who had been seeking to kill Jesus for some time, they obviously did not like him because he claimed to be the Messiah. Now, I should tell you that Jesus was not the first one to come into Jerusalem claiming to be the Messiah. There had been others. And now we know, you and I know, that Jesus is truly the Messiah. And so he is the only one who can rightfully claim to be so. But there had been others that had claimed to be the Messiah. So this was a scene that they had been involved in before. And whenever anyone would rise up to be the Messiah, they would lead astray some of the people of Israel from their religion, their religious from their religion, and practices. So they wanted to snuff that out. And that's what led them to wanting to snuff out Jesus, to have him killed, was because he was claiming to be the Messiah. Now, The difference with Jesus and all others that had come before is that Jesus was performing miracles, was performing works, had a doctrine that was different than anything they had ever seen before. And this made Jesus pretty successful. I mean, you can see the life of Jesus when he's walking around, going around from place to place. People are thronging to see him. They want to see him. They want to hear him. They want to touch him. They want to experience Jesus. And he, as such, he was leading people into what we know to be the truth, but into what the Sanhedrin thought was a lie. And so they sought to kill him. As such, they arranged for him to be arrested, and now they are bringing him before Pilate. And Pilate is the only one there in Jerusalem who has the authority to give the death penalty to Jesus. So as Jesus comes before him, Pilate says unto him in verse 11, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Now, pause here for just another moment and remind you that one of the things that, you know, Caesar, the ruler of Rome, did not care anything about the religion of the Jews. But what he did care about was whether somebody was going to try to oust him as the ruler of Rome. And so he was always on the lookout for anybody who might declare themselves to be the king, even if it was just a small kingdom that would declare themselves to be king. Well, we know that Jesus is the King of Kings, amen, right? And so here Jesus comes in, and the statement has gone before. Jesus himself has said, "My kingdom is not of this world," but he did indicate he is a king. And so when he comes before Pilate, Pilate says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus simply says, "Thou sayest." Now, what he's saying by that is, I'm not going to deny it. I'm the king of the Jews. What you're saying is the truth. I am the king of the Jews. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Now, when they brought other charges against him and witnesses and statements against him, he didn't answer them a word, which was a fulfillment of prophecy as well, because the Old Testament tells us that he was going to come as a sheep dumb before the slaughter, right? And he wasn't going to say a word. And so he didn't say anything. And Pilate turns to him and says, "Don't you hear what they're saying? Aren't you going to defend yourself at all?" And Jesus just keeps quiet. And to the point that Pilate was just amazed that he would not come to his own defense here in front of with the Sanhedrin accusing him and such, that he marveled greatly, the scripture says. Now, also remember this, that at the time of the Passover, there was a custom that there would be a prisoner to be released. The Roman government authorized the release of a prisoner back to the Israelites. And so, you know, there were several political prisoners at that time. There were folks who had mounted insurrections as well. Now, keep in mind that as the Israelites had been conquered, they were looking for a Messiah who would come galloping in and establish Israel as the preeminent nation above all other nations in the world, and establish Jerusalem as the place where would be the government of all the world. They were looking for somebody to do that. And as such, they were looking for, continually looking for somebody to rise up. And people got the idea that, well, we'll help this along. And so they despised the Romans. They despised the Roman government. So there would be insurrections. There would be people who would rise up to try to overthrow the Roman government. And this happened time and time again. And so there were prisoners that had risen up against the Roman government that were there in Jerusalem. So here we come to this instance where Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate knows that he can release some prisoner back to the Israelites. Now, they can't kill him, but he can release them back to them. And so as they come up, Pilate brings forth this guy named Barabbas. Now, I'm sure that you remember Barabbas and how that Barabbas was there and Jesus was there. And this is the scene that we see as we enter into this story. Now, it tells us that this guy named Barabbas, in verse 16, it says that he was a notable prisoner. Now, I know there's a lot of people who want to be well known, right? And they want to be known for something. But probably you don't want to be known for being a prisoner, right? He was a notable prisoner. That is, he was well known not only to the Roman government, but he was also well known to the Israelites. Now, every time that somebody led an insurrection against the Roman government would clamp down on the Israelites, and it seemed like everybody would suffer, right? They would start tightening the screws, and such was the case. Well, come to find out that this guy, Barabbas, he was a notable prisoner because he had led an insurrection. And he was notable because, and we see this in other scripture, he was a robber. Scripture tells us that he was a robber. The scripture also tells us that he was a murderer. And scripture also tells us that he was the leader of an insurrection against the Roman government. They had captured him. They had him as a prisoner. Now Pilate brings out Barabbas, and he has Barabbas here, and he has Jesus here, and he goes before the Israelites, and he says, look, who would you want me to release to you? Would you want it to be Barabbas, or you want it to be Jesus? Now, so they're gathered together, Pilate asks that question, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ. Now, Pilate, at this point, he knows that the Israelites have delivered Jesus to him because of their own envy. Right. I think this is a very interesting insight into what Pilate was thinking and what Pilate knew as well. It's interesting because what we're reading here is inspired scripture, right? And so Pilate knew and the only reason we know it is because God's told us about it. I know that you wives know what us husbands are thinking. Most of the time we don't know what we're thinking. And so it's interesting for us to see what Pilate is thinking here. He's thinking, well, they've delivered Jesus because they're envious of him. And there's no doubt about that, because Jesus had been successful in turning people's eyes toward God and in making them more godly, whereas all of the rules and regulations that the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees had put into place hadn't done a thing about making people more godly. And so Jesus was being more successful than they were, and so here they're envious. So Pilate knew that. And so when he sat down at the judgment seat, then his wife sends him a note. And we men know that any time our wives send us a note, we better pay attention. Now, we know that. And so Pilate's wife sent him a note. And this note said this. She said to Pilate, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man." Now, it's interesting here. Pilate's wife would call him a just man. I doubt his wife knew anything about the charges because she wasn't there. She didn't understand what he was being charged with. But she says, "I don't have anything to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." God moves in mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm, and this shows God's sovereignty even in this situation. Now, I know nothing about Pilate's wife. I don't know if she's elect or non-elect. I don't know anything about her. But I do know that God has given her a message in the form of a dream, and she has sent a note to Pilate and says, "This guy is just. He's innocent. There's nothing that he's guilty of. Don't have anything to do with him." And she says, "Because I have had a dream about this." But the chief priest and the elders, they're going around and they're persuading the multitude. Now, I want you to envision this, that here Pilate is with Barabbas and Jesus, and he's looking out over this crowd of Israelites, and he announces unto them, "Which do you want me to release unto you? Because the custom is that I would release one. Which do you want me to release to you?" They're all down there, and they start murmuring around. And then you start having the scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests and the elders. They're going around, and it's kind of like going door-to-door canvassing, right? And so they're going from person to person, and they're trying to convince them to vote that they would that Pilate would release Barabbas unto them rather than releasing Jesus, because they want to see Jesus dead. They want him to be crucified. And so they're going around through all the multitude, and they're canvassing that to ask Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what, that shows you their passion right there against Jesus Christ. They didn't just want him punished. They wanted him destroyed, right? And so release unto us Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And Pilate says, whether twain do you want me to release to you? And they said, they all cried out. So the chief priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, they get their way, and all of the multitude there that is before Pilate, they cry out, release unto us Barabbas. We want Barabbas released. Well, now here Barabbas, as again, Barabbas is a notable prisoner. He's well known to be a criminal. Now, it would be one thing if they had seen him as some kind of a hero trying to deliver the Israelites out from under the rule of the Romans. But it was more than that. As I've already said, it was more than that. Scripture records that he was also a robber and a murderer. So here is a guy that all of you parents, and you've got a whole lot of lovely young people here, both males and females, brothers and sisters, or as I call them out in Texas, cistern. That you've got all these wonderful young people here, and you don't want them to hook up with a Barabbas, right? You don't want them. You want to protect them. You want to guide them. You want to make sure that they are making the correct decision. Now, I'm going to chase another rabbit trail here and say this to you young people. One of the things that I have learned in 26 plus years of preaching and pastoring is, and this was brought forth to me by a dear brother actually over in Mississippi. And he said this, and I think it's very true. You know, not every Primitive Baptist church is as blessed as this church is. It's not as blessed as Zion. It's not as blessed as the other churches represent. Not every Primitive Baptist church is blessed to be seeing growth. There's a whole lot of Primitive Baptist churches whose baptistries haven't seen water in a long time. Right? And so it's very, one of the things that's very important is for us as Primitive Baptists and you young people to remember this, that we have to win the battle of marriage. Amen. Now, there's two ways to look at that. One is very true. We know about divorce. We know that that Primitive Baptists are not immune to divorce. You know, I don't know hardly any of you here, so I don't know if anybody here is divorced or not divorced, and I'm not trying to get on that. But let me tell you that divorce is one way to look. But here's another way. Here's the second part of that. Not only do we have to keep marriages together, but some of you are going to marry, just as my wife did, somebody who's not an old Baptist. We have to win that battle too. Amen. And we have to try to make sure that the people that our young the young men and women that our young men and women are marrying see the truth of the Scripture. So keep that in mind, young people, as well as you date and get your googly eyes and Lovells and all that stuff going on. That you need to do what I've seen done here already, and that is to study the Word of God and to see what's true, just like those noble Bereans. So, rabbit trail, I won't charge you anything extra for that. Getting back to our story here, I don't even know how I got off on that rabbit trail, and that's how it is with old preachers. You don't know how it happens, it just happens, right? But here we get back, and the crowd wants Barabbas released to them, right? And Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Now, I did finally remember how I got off on that, and that is, you don't want to marry a Barabbas. And I want to reemphasize that point. Barabbas is a bad guy. Barabbas is not somebody that you would want to hang around and be your best friend. And so they're all wanting Barabbas to go free and to crucify Jesus. And the governor said, that is, Pilate said, what evil hath he done? But instead of announcing or saying what evil had done, they just cried all the more, let him be crucified. And it gets into this rabble, this kind of a riot mentality, where they start yelling, let him be crucified, let him be crucified. And what's amazing is, just a few days before that, Jesus, this very same Jesus, had come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the scene at that time was one of a parade, where they were casting down palm leaves and casting down their own clothing and hosannas and hailing Jesus, and they were welcoming him, and they just knew that finally somebody was going to deliver them from the Romans. And now, here a few days later, many of those same people are here in front of Pilate, and they're saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And it's amazing how quickly we turn. Amen to me. How quickly I turn sometimes in my own life from having faith in God to not having any faith at all. It's just amazing. And that's exactly what happened to them. Now, Pilate sees that he cannot... that he's not going to stem the tide here. He sees it's a losing battle to try to release Jesus. He knows that's not going to be happening. So he didn't want another tumult, as it says here. He didn't want another uprising to occur, because Jerusalem was well known for their uprisings and their political problems, and Caesar had had enough of it. And if there had been another problem, Pilate knew that it would be his head on the platter. So he didn't want that, so he's just going to succumb to the crowd and try to sweep this under the rug and get rid of this. So he takes water and washes his hand, and he washes his hands of it. And he says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And he says, y'all see to it, right? And I'm sure that's exactly how he worded it. Y'all see to it. Yeah. And then the crowd makes one of the most ironic statements ever recorded in Scripture. I want you to read this. I want you to think about what they're saying. Here is Barabbas, a known, guilty, notable prisoner, a robber, a murderer, a seditionist. They're wanting him to be released, right? And they're wanting Jesus, who is just, who is righteous, who has done nothing wrong, who is perfect in every way, who was sinless all the way from the womb to the tomb without a sin, and he was perfect and righteous in every way, and they want him crucified and destroyed. And here's what they say. His blood be on us and on our children. Wow. His blood be on us and on our children. Do you know what? If his blood isn't on them and their children, they're goners. Amen. Isn't that ironic? They are wanting to crucify him. They are wanting to destroy him. And they say, we don't care what the facts are. We don't care what the evidence says. We want him crucified. We want him destroyed. And his blood be on us and our children. And if it's not, they're in hell.
That's right.
Isn't that ironic?
Amen.
Amazing.
It is.
But as I said, you don't want your children to be around Barabbas, right? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I am Barabbas. Brother Joe, you're Barabbas. Brother David, you're Barabbas. Brother Tim, you're Barabbas. Each and every one of you, you are Barabbas.
Amen.
You, by your very nature, your sinful nature, you are robbers of God. You want to take vengeance on somebody? God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. How will you rob God? In tithes and in offerings? In your worship? We are all robbers. You are all murderers. We are all murderers. It is because of us that Jesus was crucified. We are all murderers. We are all seditionists. because we desire to rule over our lives rather than to have the King of Kings rule over.
Amen.
We are all seditionists. Folks, we are Barabbas. But here's the amazing, wonderful thing. The very name Barabbas means this: Son of the Father. You are children of God. You are Barabbas, and by nature, you are robbers, murderers, seditionists. But by the grace of God, you are Barabbas, the Son of the Father. May God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.